Okay, this is the Bee City USA subcommittee meeting on 3/29/22. It's 3:20 p.m. and we are going. In attendance, let's just have everybody say their names.
Kate Jackson, Chair.
Albert Pepe.
Nancy Tapwin.
All right, and Libby Van Wy as staff liaison.
Okay, so we are meeting in person for the first time in, 2 years? And we are expecting Christina to arrive. She was not prepared to be here in person, but she now knows. So, let's get started. Does everybody have a copy of the packet? We have some extra paper copies. And the first page, the front page is the agenda. We're going to go through, and it's in the usual order, the approval of minutes. We don't have any public, do unfinished business, which is the goal of finishing our goal setting and working group setup, and then new business, there's a couple items there. We just did one of the two other items from committee members. Is there any additions or deletions or changes to the agenda that you would like to see?
I would like to talk about, down under other items from committee members, mm-hmm. Riverwalk and Grove, just briefly. I'd like an update on our obligation at Riverwalk and get people all excited about weeding at the Grove this year. Okay.
Okay, so the first order of business then is the approval of the minutes. They are 3 pages. They're at the back of the packet, and they were also sent out separately as a PDF. And they're based on Libby created the notes. And they include the project organization Jamboard that she manipulated while we all talked to her.
I remember reading these minutes a while ago, and I make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Good, I'll check for that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so right into the unfinished business. Another part of the packet, we pulled down, Christina and I were collaborated to upload, she did most of the work because she had all the photos last year, to upload the report into the Bee City USA website. The Bee City USA itself is still processing those reports, so it's not in a final form, but we downloaded it according to, it's actually the entry form of where we typed stuff in.
It was great, as usual.
And one of the things that I will work on with Christina as well as Libby is how to do the record keeping this year. She doesn't want to keep keeping it.
Christina
doesn't want to.
Record keeping for whatever.
All of our activities.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like all of the things that we're trying to document that we do.
Right.
Need photographs and dates and participants kinds of records. And I have not seen yet what she keeps, if it's anything more than dates and photographs. But that
and people, participants.
And participants, yeah.
I think that's probably pretty much there. Yeah. Don't stress over that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so...
And if you participate with the event, then you'll have a recollection and can write it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and one of the things, and then... We are... Hi there! Okay, well, that's good. We'll pause for a moment from what I was saying to welcome Christina to the meeting.
I forgot. I knew we were meeting in person. For some reason, that I was thinking of meeting at the gazebo, so I wore my hat.
Oh.
So I was looking for the Zoom link. It took me 10 minutes to figure out.
In the wrong place.
I'm not kidding. I I looked 10 minutes. Well, why is Libby not?
Yes.
Yeah. And you brought cookies to atone for yours.
No, because I. Why would I do that?
Nothing else to do, right?
That's right. Sorry about that. I didn't.
You want a packet? Did you print a packet?
Oh, sure. I did look at it.
So we're actually not too far into the agenda. We ended up, despite our best efforts, with a conflict from Leslie. She has a different APRC meeting at 4, so she's not planning to come here today, but we talked to her on the phone briefly. and we've approved the minutes.
Okay, good.
So we were just looking at the, I was just commenting that the uploaded information for the annual report has been brought down so that you can all read it, uh-huh. And we're pleased with it. Yes, yeah,
thanks really for your help on it.
Okay. Yeah, no, the timing was really good for me because it turned out that there was that Ashland Pond work going on, and it was actually being presented and talked about at the commission in January.
Mm-hmm.
that was all good timing, and I had also mentioned that you and I will meet with Libby to try to figure out the file storage for event tracking and photo storage.
Good. And it's been okay for that stuff to be stored on your end. But if you want, I can have backups on the city server. If you want to send me stuff that you want to keep in perpetuity and you prefer it to be backed up on the city server, you can go ahead and let me know and I can put that stuff. And save it into our folder system if you'd like.
Well, I don't want to get bogged down, but I guess the question I always have is access. Like, if I give it to you, like, do I?
Then you'd have to ask me for it if you wanted an updated version of it.
I mean, it's just that's why I have it on my stuff. There's no way that I can. If you have it, then I mean, I can't. Like the applications, you know, the list of the Bee City Gardens that we do. I mean, unless it's a shared document, then I can't access it when I need to. Not that I. Updated enough, but we can talk later.
So that part involves your work too, because you do the pollinator garden applications together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why we just keep it on our own.
I don't think I keep anything that is necessary to send over. It's just a copy of what you send me.
Right.
And then we either approve it or we don't.
Mm-hmm. And it goes into the Google Doc, a Google Sheet, Google Workbook.
That seems fine.
But you do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allergic to Google Docs.
No one else has it.
Well, I have it. Anyone with a Gmail account has access to it.
Correct.
It's a matter of getting used to using it as a tool, and
I
tend to overdose on computer stuff too.
Well, I can share the folder that I have with everybody.
Okay, that would be, yeah, maybe we, but you also mentioned a capacity issue that you've got.
The Google Sheets and Docs do take up space. Something to think about. I don't know. I'm trying to clean out my box. So, yeah, do you want to keep talking about it now, or do you want to talk about that?
No, I was going to suggest, though, that as we anticipate having a conversation with Libby about it separately, that maybe it's a cleaning out process.
Mm-hmm.
That when you want to be clean, you want to be decreasing
yes.
the size of yours.
Yeah.
Whatever it, you know, once a month, once every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you decide the pieces that we need to keep and
okay.
get them to Libby.
Okay.
And then she'll have permanent storage.
Sure. I mean, it is secure when it's on the city server. For permanent storage.
And we don't need to go back into those.
No, it's just that we need, that's where they'll be when we need access for the annual report.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get that stuff back out and arrange it for you for the annual report.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can talk. We have another meeting.
Okay, the next item then is to take a final look at our Jamboard. And try to be a little bit more concise for Libby and Arsic of which ones we're going to work on and who's on which working group.
And the Jamboard is probably more chaotic. My distilled version of that should be in the backing memo, like the thing that comes after the agenda.
Earlier in this packet. Let me take a look at that.
So, I see. It's because I hyperlinked it there, because I'm used to hyperlinks helping.
Jesus.
Okay. That's one of the downsides, I guess, of us being in person, because
I have my computer.
The minutes. No, that's where it would be. If you look at the minutes that we just approved, which is in the back part of that packet.
Yep. It's right here. This is the
more concise summary
okay.
of what was on the Jamboard. So and while the Jamboard was a bunch of little sticky notes,
right.
in the, so when I was writing the minutes from last time.
It's right in front of this page. For this
okay, good.
It's right here.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping we could look at. Because if you see that bulleted list.
The one is dated the 24th. Is that what we're looking at or no?
The 22nd.
It's the last three pages of the packet
okay.
and the minutes we just approved.
Right, okay.
So it's item 4, planning for 2022.
There it is.
And
yeah.
in those minutes, I was trying to take what was on the Jamboard and distill it down into these three main categories, A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
And then under each one, there were a couple of distinct project goals that came out. So I'd say if we look at this, we're looking at a more distilled version than the actual Jamboard. But if you count, we still have 8 project goals for the year, which in the past I was like, we're doing 2. 2 is all we get. And now there's currently 8. So I felt like maybe we should look again at
that. Distill that down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so under the supporting pond and building pollinator-friendly landscapes, we've got both of the kind of continuing items. As I understand, these are just ongoing activities of soliciting and evaluating new gardens and working on group areas, HOAs, and
I would definitely say number one is an ongoing, and it need not even be part of our 2.
Sure. I mean, I'm not, and because we have so many ongoing projects, it does seem kind of counterproductive to cut people off at 2 because some of them require less effort and some of them require more effort and some of them are just continuing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's why I'm not saying 2 and 2 only, because maybe we want to keep this plate spinning and we only want to pick up 1 or 2 more plates, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That said, we're not doing a flammability, a dimension, and recommend FireWise assessment. That is a whole new thing. To me, that's a project in itself.
I agree that that has other pieces to it, and that's and that was, I mean, as I my recollection of our discussion in January of putting off the pollinator tour was precisely so that we could spend
get
that development time of what does it mean. You know, can we get Cherise to go with us to several gardens and talk about what that looks like, and that would be a start on finding gardens who'd be willing to be that.
I would like to see some gardens of hers that she has approved.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, and so get a sense of what she's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did my fire assessment shortly after you guys did the it was in the same week, I think. she's focused on the plants, the specific plants, in that we actually got diverted by her towards that long database.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that separately, because the gardens, it's more about looking for the fire flow movement path.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So that you wanna remove the mulching, flammable mulching from near the foundation. And you wanna ensure that any plants that are near the foundation and especially near the windows are not the type of plants that would get hot enough to break the windows.
Okay.
So then there's all the building related stuff. It's not the landscaping, but you know, making sure that the vents have the right have good tight screening and stuff. And that you clean the gutters and all. But in my case, it's like I've got mulch everywhere because I've got fresh plants everywhere and a lot of exposed soil otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is to move the mulch away. I'm probably going to do a DG, big wide 8-foot DG around, you know, hardscape project.
Mm-hmm.
That will still have plants in it, but some of the plants have to change. And then breaking up the flow area, right? Putting some DG up on the slope because I've got that big slope,
right?
So that there's a discontinuity in the upslope creep. It's about layout, and it's about, you know, how dense and old and thickety are your hedges?
Mm-hmm. I'm just used to fire and wind because fire creates its own little climate there.
Yeah,
and no 8-foot piece of DG is going to stop if there's, and we're all in an updraft
right
community.
Yep. Good point.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a hard sell to our current gardeners.
Okay. So there's at least two steps. I mean, I would. Because if we could visit with her and some other gardens that look better, and I'm happy to use mine as one of those examples, but just to kind of see what it sounds like and feels
yours like. Yours would be really good because you do have the pollinator and the natives nailed.
Yeah.
And the fencing,
the fencing is wire now, so
yeah.
It doesn't. Yeah. And her house right down the street, she's going to replace her wood fence, but the section of it, it's about 4 feet that connects to her garage. She's already put metal panels there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about the cost of that. I mean, anyway. So,
yeah,
there's several steps, and I think the work group on next year's garden tour.
Maybe she could take that component.
If we can establish that membership, that she would be part of that with I'm happy to. I want to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
She
could say have four gardens.
Yeah.
And then the rest could be the pollinator garden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think ideally we were hoping that some miracle garden, would qualify in both ways.
Sure.
You know, and that if we could find some sort of example of this this happily melding on a property, then that would be a showcase piece. But barring that, if we really think they are kind of like at odds with each other in a way, and it makes it really hard to achieve both, then I mean, I guess that's up for us to figure out. That's probably for the committee to figure out whether that is achievable.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think in this environment, what we're looking at here, in the environment of Ashland.
Oh right.
Right. In a continuing drought. I agree.
Well,
it's really hard
really,
because
really
I went to the I went to her Southern Oregon Landscape Association meeting. That was an in-person meeting, the Grove.
Cool.
That Julie Smitherman spoke at, and Brian was there too. Even in the garden design world, it's going to be tough because the density and people's desire for privacy from screening.
Sure.
Yeah, I see that a lot in people's yards, you know.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that, like, we want to bring those two together on the tour, but there's some doubt whether or not that's even achievable, whether these two goals are achievable simultaneously. And if it turns out that they really aren't, then what are we going to be showcasing? I mean, maybe the idea is that if we do the tour, we plan far enough ahead and understand that we ourselves, as the subcommittee, need to be convinced of the ability for those two things to coexist, mm-hmm. or else it wouldn't make sense to have them as part of the same tour.
You know? Was Dan Dawson on the on the Wildfire Safety Commission as well as having a pollinator garden?
Yeah, he is. I'd have to go back and look at the. I'd have to revisit his garden, but we did visit his garden.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we did.
And you're saying there might be a garden that would qualify for both?
I didn't say that.
Okay, well, that's what I'm, I guess I'm thinking, not saying it, but.
Well, rather than committing that we're going to do that as a joined, like, thematically joined up for the pollinator tour,
right?
Maybe we say we're going to take the next, 10 months or 9 months to figure out whether that's possible,
right.
whether we believe that these two things can coexist and really try to put our heads together with her recommendations.
Yeah.
And it'd be ideal. I don't know. She's on the Wildfire Safety Commission, and I don't know who else is, if Dan is. But to have somebody from that commission and our commission looking at whatever gardens it is, ours or someone else's.
So we talk about the issue. We set up like coordination between.
Yeah.
Who are you suggesting?
The Wildfire Safety Commission.
Okay. Well, here's an idea. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what I'm talking about, but there's software that designers use, CAD. I know you use CAD for designing. I don't know if you use CAD for gardens, but something like that. I forget what it stands for, but you can do amazing things on the computer. So if you could try to design one.
Like a model of what plants and what conditions and how close things could,
That'd be interesting because then you wouldn't be working with somebody's actual property and having to, any recommendations you make would require both effort and money on the part of the gardener to make those changes.
Yeah.
Might be, I wonder if a local landscape architect would be interested in puzzling this out with us. I don't know that we can pay them, but I mean, it'd be kind of an interesting.
We could ask Sam.
Yeah. Exercise.
Yep.
Yeah. And
when you take an individual house and I'm looking out across the street, what is that? 25 feet?
From where to
between houses?
Maybe less.
Oh, it's going to be less. There's only 10-foot setback on the side.
You can't do it. It can't be fire-wise. It doesn't make sense in the fire world.
Yeah.
Because of the density of the housing.
Yeah, and the heat of a fire, if your next-door neighbor's on fire,
you're toast.
You're totally.
So fire-wise only becomes,
at least from the gardening perspective. I mean, aren't they talking about different?
So why just design a garden that is an antithesis to what we're trying to do here?
Yeah,
be a pollinator people.
Well, we might back down into the fire-wise plant lists, right? That was what caught my eye and brought me to this committee was. Darn list. The Firewise list prohibits Mahonia and Manzanita.
We're
going for natives. And in its own way, at a level that's like way too detailed for me, Charisse's database is trying to come up with a system for sorting, querying both of those factors.
And to figure out with that what we could actually I almost feel like when that database is done, you could provide that to a landscape architect and say, hey, landscape architect, in theory, these are all the designations of all of these plants. What would you plant and where would you plant them?
Well, in those CAD systems that Christina's referring to, they would have a field in there for plant selection.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And then if she's already talking to Sola, that they would have CAD systems, and maybe there's a volunteer who would work with Charisse. They're already working with Charisse, and they would be happy to play with this.
Or maybe Leslie has students who
would
like to play with this.
Right.
That would be a choice.
Yeah.
You might get further with Sola, but I like the SOU students. If they do, they have landscape design at SOU?
I think they do.
Oh, do they? Okay, cool. Yeah.
One thing I noticed with FireWise in general, like it's really different in a city than it is like on the interface.
Sure.
On the interface, you live on acreage. You know, here, like you were saying,
you're 150
it's
feet.
Like if you make your house FireWise and nobody else in the neighborhood is, it's kind of a moot point.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know, especially the way things, you know, fires can, you know, we know how fires move, so.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people that all the time. Should I prune, take that tree out? Well, it's a beautiful tree. It's shading your house. You know.
You keep the branches away from it.
Yeah, that's, and that's about the best you could do, unless you're going to take it out, which why would you take it out? It's a beautiful cedar tree or whatever it is, and it depends on, you know.
Yeah, people are so scared of things now, and that's what gets me. The flora is not what started the fire. Not like that. Not, it didn't cause the destruction of all of these homes. The blackberries did, but just, I mean, anyway.
It was the condition.
Deep subject.
Yeah.
The trees are not.
It is really deep, and it's, and I almost, well, I mean, we've already touched on it. You know, it's like, my yard is just planted, so I'm just starting. But, you know, I've got somebody two houses up that's got this tall columnar cypress, and it's like, I'd have to do a whole neighborhood project to start talking to those, to the other neighbors to try to get the things out that are not pollinator-friendly plants anyway.
Right.
It's more about adapting the neighborhood.
They're not going to want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Any more than we want to talk about it when we go out to do our garden visits.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know how to sell us. If we can't make a decision here within a half an hour, how are we going to talk to our people?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like we can't exactly ask approved pollinator gardeners to like come with us on this journey because we don't have an answer yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to enlist their participation, we'd basically be like, come with us on the fact-finding journey to figure out whether these two things can coexist.
I've got to weed my garden. I can't be bothered.
So this downsides the goal then to an evaluation between among the fire safety commission,
mm-hmm.
maybe a landscaper, and Charisse, and anyone else. I mean, maybe that might,
mm-hmm.
who wants to talk about it to see how compatible that is, because that was our idea for why we delayed the pollinator tour. And if we don't, and if we decide by, we need to decide by August or September if we're not going to do that, or we are going to do that for the pollinator tour for next year.
One of the other reasons we denied having a tour this year is we have no new gardens, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm pressing to get out there and get some more gardens.
Cool.
So I feel like if we stick with that particular bullet and that goal, it can kind of have two phases. So under the big goal of educating about pollinators and their conservation, bullet point number one said we prepare ourselves to offer the pollinator garden tour with a fireways focus. And in that, I feel like we can still commit to that and break it up into two phases. And one phase is collaborate with the Wildfire Safety Commission and possibly a landscape architect to see if we believe it's even possible to develop a space that achieves both of those goals. We do that first, right? We assess that over the next couple of months, and we either, like, either way, that would decide whether, it would decide the format of the pollinator garden tour for 2023. But once we've decided that, we can turn our attention away from that collaboration possibly, or, you know, we could step back and say, okay, now we're going to focus on the pollinator tour.
If it's the Wildlife Safety Commission and the City Fire Department wants to talk about it, then it's theirs, and we can support it, but we also want to know that the native plantings list is going to be reviewed.
And depending on the results of that, we either move forward with joint collaborative planning of the 2023 tour,
mm-hmm.
or we just start planning the 2023 pollinator garden tour.
Right. It makes total sense.
Yeah. In terms of finding more gardens, do we want to look, how do we do that? Do we want to find ways to broaden that outreach somehow?
I have two things to say, which was going to be, I guess, when we're supposed to be talking about what we're doing, but I've had two calls from two community members. One is at the Mountain Meadows community. So I'm doing a presentation. Anybody's welcome to join me on May 2nd. To talk about pollinator gardens, I guess, and to concentrate on pesticides. She wants me to talk about neonicotinoids and things like that.
Great.
So that's from 2 to 3 on May 2nd. I haven't done anything on it yet, but So that's one thing. We already have some pollinator gardens, so that would be a good place to reach out to other community mm-hmm. members. And then the other one, which really excites me, is I got a call from somebody I don't know, Jeff Bell, G-E-O-F-F, Ball, I think. Jeff spelled the G. And he's with Oak Knoll. And that's a good one.
Oak Knoll Community?
The community.
Oh,
yeah.
The HOA?
Yeah, because
do they have, I certainly hope they are already a Firewise community.
Well,
they
I
were the subject.
So.
Yeah.
They were the reason we had tightened up our code.
Oh, that's true, right.
Yeah.
So he's on the landscaping committee. He's just left me a voicemail. He's on the landscaping committee. He wants us to come and talk about pollinator gardens. Apparently there's a number of people, and that one's extremely important to me because I have some backstory, which I'm not going to tell you at this exact moment, about some things that happened in that community. And so if we can get some pollinator gardens going in there with no pesticides. So anyway.
We have one?
No. Oh, we do have one.
Right.
Well, yeah, but she moved away.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. Part of the reason is because the stories I'm not telling you.
So when you first started talking, I had no idea where to incorporate that into the minutes because I wasn't sure
The reason I brought those up
mm-hmm.
is because in addition to telling you two things that I'm doing as a community, as a member, I started bringing it back in because I see both of those as ways to get new gardens.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's part of your outreach activities, which is critical.
Yeah. It's part of my outreach activities, but it relates directly to the
Excellent.
Question that was just raised, whether you get more gardens. And so my hope is that we will get more gardens in the Oak Knoll community because of this man reaching out.
And the first people you talked to besides the Oak Knoll was Mountain Meadows?
It was Mountain Meadows.
Okay.
We're already there,
right.
But they're wanting a presentation this time, which we didn't get last. Well, we did the tour, but... So that was, I'm sure that was part of it.
And so how does that, are we adding something in the outreach efforts to solicit the nomination forms?
Well, I'll talk about it.
That will be part of the presentation.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, we were supposed to have a garden cleanup at the Riverwalk, Clinton Street, but then it rained.
It actually rained.
And so
yes,
they canceled. Not yesterday, but the other time it rained. And so it's now on for another date that Solomon sent me.
Oh, that was the one you told us about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that one canceled. And so now there's another one happening. And I'm just bringing that up, that's another opportunity to talk to people about pollinator gardens.
Can we also do it the other way? Because after you guys did mine, you asked... You know, if I saw other gardens in my neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and I did start writing down addresses,
yeah.
I started making a list.
Yeah.
Then I also had a question of, though, how many pollinator plants qualifies as a pollinator garden?
Did you read your form? Oh, you mean in total?
Yeah, because a lot of people have. I mean, a lot of people have lavender and rosemary and the kind of standards.
Four natives at least four natives. We don't have a percentage, but we just, it can be difficult because then what is your...
We just said no to a garden, which would have been the 7th on Liberty Street.
Mm.
Because
another important point, which is
on your form, is that, that there's plants blooming all year long, and there is nothing blooming later than...
I thought we said 3 seasons.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, 3 seasons, yeah.
Yeah.
So there was nothing blooming later than June in his
mm-hmm.
garden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so anyway,
so there's
okay.
a
way
and the clumps, not
yeah.
just, I have one, one native plant right here and it's this big. And
right.
That we need 3-foot clumps. And
Or at least something that'll grow into 3-foot
yeah.
clumps if it's a new garden.
Yeah.
So anyway, so those I'm just bringing those up as 3 opportunities. And so the 4/16, April 16 is the new date for Riverwalk. Riverwalk Garden cleanup.
Do you have a time?
No, 9 o'clock probably. Yeah, 9 o'clock. All right, sorry, I wasn't digressing.
We have Riverwalk down here on the other right.
Yes,
and
that's
what
we've
been talking about while we're on it.
I guess the only thing as far as outreach, before COVID, we're doing tabling
mm-hmm.
different events in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Can that happen again?
You were so good at it.
Yeah, but
Okay, so I'm not tracking though. I'm curious where we are. Are we going with Riverwalk? Are we going with
Well, I just wanted to add that as because I thought we were talking about outreach.
Outreach,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
that comes up enough.
New gardens, and that was one of the ways we connected with people was like giving some information.
So let's come back to that because
I'm
interested in that too.
Okay.
But right now we've kind of gone from soliciting more gardens, so we have new gardens, and doing it through the outreach activities.
Okay.
And so Christine was listing what those
what
those current ones are.
So
essentially that I see that second item under the supporting and building new landscapes, it kind of folds into the outreach rather than being listed separately.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm starting to see under supporting and building pollinator friendly landscapes is that we stop seeing like personalized consultation as being like a service we provide to HOAs, but possibly we see those activities with connecting with HOAs as an opportunity to increase and expand the approved pollinator garden program, right? We're not like private consultants to help get your HOA off the ground necessarily with like a special set aside goal just for supporting HOAs, but rather we connect with whoever we can, including HOAs, with the end goal of building the approved pollinator garden program and getting more approved pollinator gardens at the end of the day.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a program within the HOA. But
right. So we have HOAs on there as like a goal in and of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the pollinator garden program, we also
got so interested in it.
Support.
And
HOAs.
I'd like to do it with one of mine, but we have a contractor, and you know, I will continue doing that, but it's like a really long. I'm an internal lead, right? and they have a landscaper. It's a matter of convincing the board and its landscape committee to be able to talk to the contracted service. And he's actually already he's come to the meetings, and he has a fair amount of insight already.
Is it Baumgartner? Did you and I already talk about this?
No. But the issue is that the HOA is not on board. The gardener would be able to do it if he was asked.
Who is this guy? Who is this person?
Chautauqua Trace.
Oh, yeah, Chautauqua Trace. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they U.S. Lawns or Pro Lawn?
No.
Okay. No. Chautauqua Trace should be a good one.
Christina's done quite a bit of research on it.
I've talked to people at Chautauqua Trace.
Yeah.
So the only thing that it kind of seems to me is that to simplify things, we connect with whoever we can, including HOAs or individuals, to acquire more approved pollinator gardens and grow that program. So it kind of narrows what we're like willing to do for each individual person who calls us up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're not necessarily going to be your landscaping consultant.
No.
But we will pitch what we do, and we'll explain the program, and we'll encourage you, and then we'll give you the form. And
it kind of got away from us on Riverwalk because it was a unique situation where it was a pocket park, an Ashland pocket park.
Mm-hmm.
So we got
sucked
into doing a lot of the on-the-ground work, and that took a lot of time over and energy and collaboration over the last 2 years. So I think that won't happen again.
Okay, that
so
makes sense.
Well, but I'd like to come back to that comment because I think that, like for Mountain Meadows, I think the HOA Landscaping Committee is on board with reducing pesticides and putting in pollinator plants slowly over time because I think the chair, whose name is escaping me at the minute, is so I would not rule out one or the other. I'm not going in there as a consultant. But on the other hand, I presented to the GNA grounds and
National areas
is what I mean. Grounds and national areas twice about pollinator gardens. So, I mean, I think there is a way to use the connections to somebody, you know, up an echelon to the HOAs to do some things. But on the other hand, it's also a way, like what you're doing, and maybe what this Jeff Ball person is wanting to do at Oak Knoll is connect in with multiple gardens. So I think it's both.
I
yeah, I'm just trying to simplify the number of things we are
right.
saying
okay.
we're committing
right.
for the year
okay.
for the coming year, right?
Right.
Because you're getting the calls directly, or you or are they coming to Pollinator Project and you're taking them up there?
Yeah, I don't know.
yeah.
I don't know.
It's happening. So.
Yeah. So Mountain Meadows is more Bee City USA, Oak Knoll, yeah, and then Riverwalk. So it gets squirrely after a while. Riverwalk is Bee City USA.
What do you mean? I mean, I know Bee City. Why are you saying it that way?
Because she asked me, are they calling me through PPRB?
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. Okay.
So,
okay.
I don't know where we are now.
So, yeah, another time, because I want to try to at least touch on most of the agenda. Another time I'd like to talk about the representing a broader reach. You know, I'd like to talk to the city of town about what they do for their Bee City thing, and you know, we connected in the Ashland Pond because it's actually Parks maintains it, and but other groups were planting native plants.
I'll be glad to talk to Talon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And ask what they do for outreach.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just so that we're, I mean, we have an, because among us we have an awareness, but it's also anything that accomplishes progress. Moves us toward the goal, but may also do other things. I mean, that's why we're looking at the fire-wise, and that's why I'm working on drought.
Drought tolerant
with water conservation use this summer.
I guess I do know how talent recruits. They have five people who are always out there a couple of days a week, and they have so many public gardens. They do the post office, the police station, the skateboard park.
Mm.
They planted them all,
yeah.
They designed them all, and they do the maintenance.
Right.
And I don't think we're going to do that. So they're always out there talking to people.
Right, right. And we're not, right now we're not in that position until the city figures out its Parks Commission and City Council
yeah.
argument.
I'm not going to go there anywhere, but yeah. And then one could also ask, well, what is a pollinator garden? You could ask that question again. So anyway.
So we've touched on two of these three goal areas. I'm not sure that we find it, you know, we haven't narrowed it enough necessarily. The outreach work, especially that both of you do through your various activities, can help bring in new gardens and kind of spread the word. And that's two of the goals that are kind of all meshed into the same people's activities. The affecting the policies and organizational change is has been listed more distinctly, let's just put it that way,
than in the past.
Then perhaps. Well, I mean, and partly it's because we're having to carry things forward, right? Because you and Leslie were working on getting a NeoNet resolution, but the Parks Commission wasn't ready to take that up with us this year. And so this time we thought we'd step back and say, okay, what is it going to take to get it there?
Right.
And
additional research, I think, is probably what's being recommended to get it there.
Yeah.
Like, well... And even if we do additional research, there's no hard and fast guarantee that they will have the bandwidth to consider it.
Mm-hmm.
So I should say that, because I don't want to be a waste of time, right? Because
yeah.
the powers that be are busy.
Right.
But on the other hand, they have asked us for more, they have asked the committee for more research into the specific chemicals, the specific products, the different uses for all of those products, what different suppliers use and don't use those products, and how that affects the supply chain. That's
yeah.
a lot of information they're asking to make an informed decision. So
But the last time that Leslie and Rachel and I worked on that, which has been now several months ago, we were starting to just tweak the language a little bit that we plan to or we hope to or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I gave Rachel a bunch of information about the pesticides that were listed in the resolution that Cersei's put together.
Cool.
So I would probably just recommend, just in light of everything else, that we just put B off until next year or something. I don't see the purpose right now of spending a lot of time on that, unless somebody, like maybe SOU students, want to take on doing the research. I've given Rachel what she wanted, and you know, if she wants more about the pesticides, mm-hmm. that's fine.
I think Leslie would be our point person if she's able to secure an idea for a capstone project to support that. And I know she's thinking about it, but she hasn't found a great way to frame it in a concrete enough way that somebody would want to take that project on as a package.
Right.
So, but I think she's still a cognizant of it and is trying to find
something. She still has it in mind, and she has two students, that she's going to talk to about actually joining the committee here.
Good.
And she just said that she's been too busy to think about that. But she can come back to it. And I'm happy to work with her on that because we just don't know whether staff, especially Michael and Rachel, are going to have any time to spend on the subject. This year, and maybe there's more research related to IPM policy refinement. I don't know.
What is SOU's policy for that?
Christine has mentioned this before. Yeah, the person who wrote it has left SOU. He's over in talent. He lives in talent. So we don't know what their current maintenance crews are doing right now.
Yeah.
We know, but I know that state law applies more to them than it does to the city.
Mm.
It's more specific.
Mm.
But if the students, want to pick that up and bring together more information or bring together more modern, more new information, because there was also Xerxes put out a, and this is something that I was real interested in, a lawn conversion, start just some ideas about how to manage your lawn differently and add some more seed and not mow it as low so that it's more drought resistant and more pollinator friendly. And there's a guidebook for that that just came out.
You have to look at that.
Great.
But, what I'm seeing from, kind of scooting in here is that there's a lot of research and there's a lot of guidance, but then actually getting it into on the ground, SOLA members, landscaping firms that are doing the HOA, is actually getting it into them and their clients being accepting of it is another matter. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of...
If you get it into SOU, consider how much land they have that is in lawn right now, and that would...
I was over at the farmer's market this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All that housing has lawn as the parking strip.
Yeah.
Nice, green, thick, 2-inch-high, wet lawn.
Mm-hmm. It's owned by SOU.
It's owned by SOU.
Okay.
It's SOU
student housing.
Student housing,
yeah. All up on Whiteman Street.
Leslie could get some kids fired up. That'd be... Great. If we could just get
them. I'll work. So for B, I will be with Leslie,
and
you guys can be on call or join me. I'll let you know when we're doing.
Find that book.
Yeah.
So we're kind of holding off on the neo-NIC. Are we saying that the neo-NIC resolution is waiting for feedback from Rachel, or are we saying that?
I think so.
Okay.
We had some good meetings and I thought we were making some progress, and then things kind of changed. And neonics, you might want to put the E in front of the O.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, I hadn't even noticed.
I don't think that was spelled right at all.
Nicotine. I think there's an extra C. Neonic.
Yeah, it's not spelled right. I got
there's
it
another.
Now.
There's an extra I. Yeah. I don't know if your spell checker is going to recognize that. Okay.
They sure don't like the way
so that, but okay. So we need to help Libby reform it, formulate it under one thing. It's policy change.
Mm-hmm.
Policy change around parks, university, SOU and city parks maintenance, IPM and chemical use.
Right.
That's how you would definitely sum it up. But then, like, that was kind of the big header. So the individual tasks that we walk away with are what? Like, you're going to meet with Leslie
and
figure out
to see if we've got some students that can and that are interested in working with SOU about its landscaping that would be relevant examples for what the city might consider.
Okay.
Find out where they are and
where are they
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, after
it may also go into a waiting pattern if they're in the same place as the city is.
Yeah.
But you had some hope that they might have more stringent guidelines. And
the state had there's more legal authority.
So maybe
nobody's
mentioned that lately. That they just think they're under the city guidelines.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I bet the students would be like, enjoy.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Yeah, they need to get past the strike threat of NSOU right now, too. We all need to get some more outdoor breathing time this year. It's like, did any of you watch the Academy Awards?
Mm-mm.
I thought actually it was a really well done show.
Oh, cool.
But the thing that's dominating social media is Will Smith. And you know, so I've come to my opinion about that, but it's just like everybody's just got so much pent-up frustration, anxiety, desire to interact.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So how are you feeling, Libby?
It's so wide-ranging that I'm honestly having trouble distilling it, but I see two main bullets under B. We're waiting for Rachel to get back to us about the next steps in the neonicotinoid resolution adoption. And then Kate will meet with Leslie to see if there are students who would be willing to help us investigate.
So we need, B City Ashland is taking the initiative on working with SOU and students on the issue of IPM and neonic use.
And then on
campus, and then the city's neonic resolution is basically in the parks staff court until they're ready for us.
I assume that's true. You can double check with Rachel, but that's kind of how we left it. She never called another meeting after we had three.
They've had way too many. I mean,
right.
I would try. I can't keep track of how many subcommittee meetings Leslie has to go to as a parks commissioner. And that's just, that's before they get into the budget for next year. I mean, it's just crazy. It's still
exactly.
crazy.
That's
it's
why
still
I
crazy over there. That one's a hold. Just
that's
a placeholder.
Then, you know, they, what,
yeah.
Just a placeholder. Just put it on hold.
Okay.
I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm seeing under A is primarily a goal for additional outreach activities, which remain to be seen, but that allows for flexibility in what you all want to do, like maybe tabling or maybe reaching out to specific HOAs or doing a presentation here and there, you know, with the goal of increasing awareness about the approved pollinator garden program and getting more approved pollinator gardens would be A.
Mm-hmm.
And then distilling the next section, B, I would distill that as we're still interested in coordinating with SOU around IPM and neonicotinoid use, and that's with you connecting with Leslie.
Yeah.
And then for C, which is kind of where we started, which is that we want to plan
the
pollinator garden tour in 2023, and then phase one of that is assessing whether or not these two landscaping goals can coexist. And so having a few meetings with the Wildfire Safety Commission, having meetings with the landscaper perhaps, coming to a conclusion of whether those two things are compatible, and then from there planning the 2023 tour. Does what I've just said kind of capture the three main thrusts of what we're doing?
And did you say something in there? I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to follow everything. And did you say something in there about talking to Charisse about the database?
No, I want to talk about the database because it's in there as its own bullet right now.
Right.
And so so far today we've talked about getting on the same page with the Wildfire Safety Commission, getting on the same page with Charisse about whether or not these goals are compatible. But we haven't talked about actually providing feedback on the database, which is a goal in and of itself if we want to do it.
Right. Right. So we've got 15 minutes left. Does anybody have constraints about going a little longer?
I need to leave at 4:30 because I have a 4:30 meeting.
Okay.
Meetings.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we go to the database, because that's a black hole. I would put these under outreach.
Mm-hmm.
I'll work with Albert about occasional tabling at the farmers market. They are super flexible about it.
Nice.
I talked to them.
Good.
Yeah, they just have you be near one of the entrances.
Right.
They don't charge you. You can, I mean, we'll give them the courtesy of scheduling it so they know when to expect it and when not.
And do you know where all the gear is upstairs?
No.
It's at my house.
Oh.
Okay.
Jen brought it to me for some reason, so I could use it for something, and she said you can just keep it or not. So there might be more upstairs. We'll have to talk about it.
We'll need to look into that.
Yeah, who has a canopy and all that, because I've always used my canopy. So is somebody going to be tabling and you're going to use my canopy, or how do you want to do
it? I have a canopy.
Okay, good.
But it's pretty big. So it doesn't fit in my little car,
right?
But you can put North Mountain Park to borrow. Yeah,
good.
He has a truck.
And we don't always need a canopy either.
Depending on the weather.
Yeah, a lot of them just set up a table, and that's good. Yeah, it's good enough. So.
Yeah. So the farmer's market is easy. I'm going to be doing the the Conservation and Outreach Commission is doing a drought and water conservation tabling at Earth Day.
That's happening.
Yeah. I'm not even sure.
Which day is it?
It's Saturday, the 23rd, at Temple Emek Shalom.
Okay.
And the co-op's doing something
on the next day, Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm interested in, but I'll just talk separately, the work group between Albert and, I guess we're not supposed to have a quorum for that, are we? But, of combining water conservation and proper irrigation with pollinator and natives are great for that, right? They naturally use less water. Julie Smitherman is helping us out with all of her water conservation tabling stuff. So we've already got all that material. So it's a matter of me just seeing that stuff and seeing what we've got for pollinator and deciding whether or not they go together.
Yeah.
But those are all outreach activities.
Okay.
Are you looking at me to help on the 23rd?
Don't have to.
I can't. It's the Hanley Farm plant sale.
Oh, okay.
The 23rd.
22nd, 3rd, 4th.
Okay.
I'll be busy for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I might be able to do that on the 23rd. We should talk though.
Okay, let's talk online. Because this is Larry Cooper's organizing it, and Jim McGinnis and I are all. There's already three of us. I don't know if there's more people from the Water Conservation. This is the City Conservation Commission focusing on water conservation.
Okay.
But I'm interested in talking with you about doing finding some specific times for the farmers market.
Right.
Okay, that the database. Is anyone in this group interested in providing technical feedback that Charisse was looking for on the pollinator value of the plants that are listed in it? She's got 600 plants in there. She's trying to get the actual genus and species and variety rather than common names. And she's looking for, she was originally looking for, you know, quotable, citable sources for it. But she was being pressed. Since she talked with us, she's talked to the Ash and Garden Club, and I don't know who with the Ash and Garden Club, but it probably includes Vicki Ashford. So I don't know whether she's considering accepting, you know, like a garden club, you know, experienced gardeners.
I think she was considering that. If I recall, her initial plan when she was working solo was to simply cite specific published documents.
Mm-hmm.
But once she involved other people, she kind of said that if this as an entity with a representative of the one person whose eyes are on it, let's say, you know, if Nancy's browsing through it and she answers a question about whether or not this plant is suitable for pollinators and we back her up as an entity, then one person is entering it, sure. But next to that name, it's next to that piece of data, we wouldn't say Nancy. We would say Bee City, USA, Ashland.
Right.
And I think she had gotten her head around that by the end.
And so she might also accept if there's people on your board in the Pollinator Project who
that'd be a really good
you know, that would also be an authoritative source,
right,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
What I'm not sure is how to manage knowing who, and it might not even be our job, to solicit that input by any particular date.
That's what I was wondering. When does this need to be done by?
Right now it's a work in progress, and she's, you know, like I said, she's off skating without us here.
It would be hard to jump in and have her still working on it and putting more data in, and, oh, well, I already did those first 400 pages, and now you want me to go back.
I think what she did was she pulled a query out of her database. So her database, just like the North Mountain Park one, is really, really big Excel sheet. But she has created a way of pulling out a sublist and sending the sublist or the query to y'all so that you're not working in the original.
Yeah, she said that.
And so, like, even though she might be updating the big one and that may be moving forward, we should still be able to put answers onto those, like, those query lists and then have her take that data and put it back into the master.
But it seems to me like, I mean, I'm happy to look at it. I would actually love to look at it. I've got people that I know that I could ask to look at it as well. But it seems like so many of the plants she'd already have, like she already has the shooting star list, I'm presuming, of the native plants that are in the pollinator list. And she's got Vicki Ashford's list. And she's got the master gardener's list. And, I mean, so I guess, you know, what is your, like, some people would say lavender's a pollinator plant. I'd say, well, yeah, it is, but I don't think it's the best. So then you get into qualifications. It's a pollinator plant. Is it the best one? No, because it only serves, you know, for really one purpose.
Well, and she actually provided three columns in there for the, you know, so that you can go to quite a bit of detail. The issue is that I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that.
Right.
So,
and it's not whether it's a worthy goal. It's whether or not, you know, this group wants to help or has the bandwidth to help, you know?
Yeah, because she's already gone. I mean, she could go directly to the Pollinator Project the issue is that I don't want to be repeating or separating what I do in reaching out to people to look at that. Because there's Xerces Society members and Rachel Whirling's, you know, Native Plant Society in Southern Oregon. Does it make any difference if I call them up and ask them to look at her list? I don't see that.
No.
So
To me, the people that we should really be looking at is Christy Mergenthaler and Rachel Werling and Susie Savoy and all these people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can do it, and I know now I've got board members that know a lot. I've got a botanist and things like that, but they're not going to fall into part. So, but I'm happy to look at it if that helps, but does it count, you know? I'd be interested in seeing the plans. I haven't looked at it, so not in detail, I mean.
We could say that Bee City USA Ashland is not necessarily in the business of providing plant-specific recommendations, but we recommend that you get in touch with these botanists.
We are
in
the business of recommending plants.
Yeah.
That's what Christine and I do. But I'm not going to volunteer to do this. I think she has.
And maybe this is different.
This is different.
Well, and qualifying in a scientific
filling
way.
Filling out those pollinator columns into her database is a task.
Right.
And
do we have the time and the energy?
Do we have the desire to put our time into that when, I have other priorities and skills that I'm working on, and you're super committed in other ways. You're willing to look at it, but there's other venues too. And I think those other people.
I don't think my input would make any difference.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned three names that would be phenomenal.
Your own. But then, and I'm sure Rachel would be happy to do it, but she's like slammed.
Yeah.
And there's other botanist type people, but they may not know that much about the pollinator side. So Xerces would be the best.
Yeah, I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Well, so.
But for a specific region,
they have plant lists. I mean, so you just go to their site and look at all the different plants. Or so, and I was going to see that's the other thing. I'm willing to bet you a dollar that she doesn't have all the plants listed as Xerces says on their plant list for our region.
You're probably right. And the question is, do we want to be involved at the level where we would try to fix that? You know, like she's doing this endeavor,
right?
And you're thinking, well, in one respect, we could be critical of the endeavor in that it may not be complete,
right?
And we could step in and say, let's try to make this endeavor more complete. Let's try to make this list more comprehensive, and let's really put our effort toward it so that if there are things that aren't on there, let's help her get them on there, right? But do we have the bandwidth to do so?
Probably not.
I don't think we have the bandwidth to do it. I mean, I'm happy if it makes any difference to her. And it's like an OSU Extension research project.
Yeah, right.
It's a Native Plant Society research project. would Laura Ross, who came out of SOU, who's now Xerces and Bee City USA, would she like to carry that somewhere? I don't know.
There you go.
You know, that's the kind of connection I'm happy to make, but it's not. I'm not going into the database and going to.
We have definitely missed our three or four categories of what we need to do here.
Yeah, and I think that, I misspoke when I said we're not in the business of making plant recommendations, but it's like I know you make plant recommendations, but do you contribute to the scientific research project? You know. And maybe OSU does, or maybe there are other, there are other
qualifications
people.
To do that.
Right. And so maybe there's a level here that just isn't a great fit for Bee City USA. Not that we can or can't make plant recommendations in somebody's garden, but are we the level of botanists where we go in there tease out these species and subspecies? Maybe not.
I know who the best person would be for Oregon, probably, is the head of the Master Gardeners in Corvallis, and I cannot remember her name at the moment. She does studies. They do studies with the interns, with the, not her. Anyway, I'll get the name for you, Lily.
Okay, great.
She would be the best person to reach out to, if Charisse hasn't already done it.
And well, Carol Deppe, isn't it?
Pardon?
Carol Deppe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's from Corvallis.
She's Erica's boss, Erica Sontag's boss, who's no longer there, of course, but she's up above her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I also, I don't think it's, I mean, so this is my reaction to seeing that, you know, and knowing that I'm not interested in steering this thing to try to fill that thing out. I know she created a website that I looked at. It's got a gazillion links to other resources. Just provide a centralized place if people query fire safe, you know, landscaping. She's got links to everywhere.
And it may be too overwhelming for people to even.
I don't think, exactly. That's my thought, is that the landscape associations, the landscapers that are doing maintenance work and installing work around here, they rely, it's like they've already got their own resources and they're already familiar with who they work with and what they work with. And
their project seems a little overwhelming.
They're not going to look to that for ideas.
Yeah. Seems like a couple.
It almost like it's too much data.
Yeah.
On some level.
Well, more power to her, because I don't think it's too much data. I just think it really needs some really powerful systems to manage the level of data.
Yeah.
You know,
it is in a sense too, because like one of the things I found is that both the city of Medford, and you're going to be out here.
I think I might just have to postpone that meeting because it seems kind of crazy. Go ahead.
Both the city of Medford and the city of Ashland, their WaterWise websites are supported by a vendor in LA. It's a software package. But they have sorting on pollinator and water conservation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this database would meld that into the database analysis type of stuff that goes on to generate those lists. That's where that belongs.
Yeah.
And it might actually be a good academic, an extension service, either California, UC Davis has a lot of stuff on pollinators too.
It's Gail Langiletto. I wonder if I could remember her name.
Okay.
Gail, G-A-I-L, Langiletto, L-A-N-G-E-L-L-O-T-T-O. Got it. I think she's in Corvallis. Yeah, they do all sorts. They come out with lists about, you know, the best.
So do we want to just give Charisse the names?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I've got we Susan Savoy, Christy Mergenthaler, Rachel Werling, Gail Langiletto, and then three organizations that don't have people attached: XRCE, the Native Plant Society, and OSU Extension.
Well, Native Plant Society is Rachel Werling.
Oh, perfect.
She's
and
Southern
Christy Mergenthaler.
Okay, yeah. Great.
And she's already talked to Rachel Werling.
Okay.
I know.
I think that's our contribution.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's fine.
And then the XRCE Society would be great. And then if she hasn't researched Calscape, I mean, you could just look at the Calscape database and go,
yeah.
But then not all of those are up here, so that's at Oregon Flora. So hopefully she's looked at all these things. Oh, my God.
Yeah, she has, and I'm not going to go do it again.
Yeah.
I get in. It's just online. It's too easy to go into those rabbit holes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think we can also let go of the idea that we would somehow help with a communications plan to disseminate and educate about the database.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. We dropped that. Yeah.
So good.
What we are doing is working collaboratively with the Wildfire Safety Commission on whether or not and what does that look like to talk about gardens as part of your fire protection.
I like it. And that's with the end result of planning whatever the 2023 tour might look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The one other thing we wanted to mention was that we want to solicit a new committee member, so keep your ear to the ground and talk to your friends.
Right. Okay.
The East Main Park update, we can defer. The city has a draft design.
The one that they had already from the meeting? From the meeting. Okay,
and
right.
Their next phase was going to be another public meeting, and then when they were ready for the next stage, they promised to invite us.
Oh. See, thanks.
Yeah.
At least Michael Black did mention us. He said that they're going to reach out to the city.
Yeah. And they actually took a lot of questions. I actually gave them the link to that pollinator friendly parks.
I saw
at that meeting. Yeah, you were on it too. We asked a lot of questions.
Pollinator friendly parks put out by the Xerces.
Yeah, their guidebook. That, I mean, they're committed. A large proportion of people on the survey mentioned that the landscaping should be pollinator friendly. 38% of the survey.
Say that again. What now?
38% of the survey respondents.
Mm-hmm. Which survey? Sorry.
East Main, the Parks Department had an online survey, and they had 1,000 responses.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They also said 50% of the people supported the pump track. So
yes.
It depends who responds and what the
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the pump track's going to be there. There's going to be some community gardens. We don't know what type yet. The landscaping itself will have some options to be more... because they're particularly focused on water conservation too.
Yeah.
But they need to be. Other things are not owners. They're building the traffic. Yeah. If we need to call it and people need to go, that's totally fine. We do have another bullet here about the Pollinator Week proclamation.
Yes, good.
But we can, yeah.
Well,
my thought there is to see what we've used in the past, and for me to actually arrange to meet with the mayor, because she's the one that would put it on one of their agendas. And
that's fine. Go for it.
Yeah.
Usually, what we do is just ask whoever Dorinda, the other person.
Yeah, it's the administrative assistant to the mayor's office, and we generally just pass them along the standard language that comes from BCity USA Central, as we acknowledge that pollinator conservation is important, and so we hereby say that this week in June is pollinator week, and it's pretty standard language.
Yeah.
But if you would like to start it, initiate it as a conversation, then, yeah.
It's just that the new city manager has been reorganizing the council look ahead, where you can look and see what's going to be on their agendas for months, and the other commission, report, and they have like the Tree City one is already on their agenda, and B City is not.
Yep.
So.
And that was something that Rachel had said last year, that we were supposed to be on there. They were going to have us on one of their meetings at least once, but that was APRC, but not City. So, yeah, we should be on
there. Well, and I'll see how I think the mayor supports the policy.
Sure they do.
But she also wants to abolish the Parks Commission, so it's a delicate
So we'll
issue. Libby and I will work on fixing a date and be more careful that Leslie can make it in June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We're shooting for late June, and I was going to suggest to you all that maybe we could alternate in-person and Zoom meetings, because it is quite a bit more administrative work to do it in person. It's a bit more.
Really?
It's a bit more of a lift on my end, but maybe we could alternate.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Whatever you need to do.
Okay.
I'm fine going back to Zoom, actually. It's so funny. It's almost so easy to do. I like to meet in person, but anyway.
Depends
on the meetings. So thank you. I'm going to head out. Do you need me for anything else, or do you need to pick a date now?
We'll look at late June and maybe do a poll it.
Okay.
Since Leslie isn't here to talk it through, and I know that her schedule changes quarterly,
yes.
And we meet quarterly, so it seems like doodle polls become kind of a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the last thing I want to say is that I would love you all to be continuing to track your volunteer hours for this, and please maybe send me, I think it would be a good idea, since we're having our quarterly meeting.
Okay.
Ta-da! 52 hours.
My name on it.
Okay, 52 hours. Sweet.
Whoa.
Amazing.
That's about difficult for
that's
the chair. Good job. All right. Thank you,
everyone.
I would stay and help you clean up. But.
it's okay.
Watch
yeah.
We're going to take one or both of these back in there. Sure thing.
Yeah, no.
Are we adjourned?
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Thank
I got a few.